It's what we do, baby!
This is Race Wars. Race
Wars. I have the power!
Yeah! How's it feel?
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch!
Race Wars.
Race Wars. Race Wars in the building. Oh, what a week. What a week. What a week. I've been watching this confirmation hearing, the confirmation hearings for Judge Barrett. Oh,
yeah, okay. Update us. I have missed it.
It's been some good stuff. I mean,
what happened?
To get confirmed because, you know, the Republicans got the votes to get her in.
Yeah.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat.
Mm-mm.
But, which is she's more of a contrast to Ruth Bader Ginsburg than fucking old dirty bastard. She was answering a lot of shit. And first of all, you know, the first thing I got is Race Wars. So the first thing that strikes me about this, the judge, is her two black Haitian kids.
What?
Wait, how does she have two black Haitian kids? How does the Republican have two black Haitian kids?
Didn't she, like, stop them from the earthquake?
She adopted two black Haitian kids that, you know, it's her children. She calls them her children. And you know what? I want to believe in it. Like, you know, I want to, because first of all, she took these kids, you know, and gave them a home and, you know, gave them a better situation than they were in Haiti. But at the same time, I'm like, these poor kids.
Why? Why
but
these poor kids?
Christian cult, didn't she?
Because first of all,
take them out of the earthquake and put them in a cult.
Well, she's Catholic. Is that a cult?
Well, her group that she's in, what's the name of the group that she's in? They talked about that too during the confirmation hearing.
The what? Handmaiden's Tale.
Oh, yeah, well, she was called the Handmaiden in that group. They changed the title now from Handmaiden to woman leaders, which I think is more derogatory. Why not just leaders?
Leaderesses.
Leaderesses. But yeah, her two black kids, I mean, I want to believe. First of all, it's already hard being a black kid. But she got one boy, one girl. The girl, the daughter's 17, and the son is younger. I think maybe 12 or something. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's already hard being a black kid. And now it's even harder being a Haitian black kid. That's hard to be a Haitian black kid surrounded by white people.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely during this time in America where there's all this racial tension and you feel you might feel like you're a million miles away from reality as a black kid.
Yeah.
So
where does she live? Where are these children now?
I think Florida. I'm going to say Florida. I'm not sure.
And I mean, if I can speak from my own experience as a black kid.
What's that?
Wait, let's introduce our guest first of all. Hold on, because we all know each other, but the listeners don't know you. So
right, everybody introduce themselves.
So Brookie, you have friend of the show. Everybody's a friend of the show, but Brookie, you've been on the show before. Right? Brooke Arnold's comedian.
I've been on the show. I'm on the show now.
Currently on the show.
Friend of the show. Studio and Sherrod would smoke us out. That was more fun than this.
That was the best.
Yes, I hate Zoom shows. I hate them. I can't wait to do shit in person again.
Yep.
I hate these.
I'm doing comedy in person tonight. Yeah.
Good for you, Brookie.
Where's the show?
At the Grizzly Pear.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Now, P, introduce yourself.
I'm Periel Ashenbrand. I am a writer and a comic and a producer. And, I basically had to just come on here to see Sherrod.
Yeah, I've been in and out, huh? I gotta come do the Comedy Cellar table show, you know.
Yeah.
Have y'all been watching the confirmation hearings at all? Have anybody watched some today?
I missed it entirely. No, I need to be fully caught up.
I mean, they've been going to Klobuchar when I started up first today, and she went right in. She went right in at her and was bringing up her record and how, you know, gonna follow the track. So she just followed. I just pulled up everything she's done in her career as a judge, as a federal judge, and it was fiery. It was nice.
Yeah, but she's refusing to commit to a position, right? They're like, how would you do this and that? And she's like, I'm not getting involved.
She's like the definition of middle brow, you know? She's just like in the middle of everything, belligerently so.
Yeah.
Do you believe that, though? Do you believe she's in the middle of everything?
She's conservative as fuck. She's more conservative than Scalia. And she looks up to Scalia, and she's more conservative than that motherfucker.
Yeah.
And she wrote that article about, you know, after Trump got inaugurated, she wrote that article about how she was against that Roberts, Judge Roberts, sided with the liberals on a decision about the health care bill.
So she is she anti-healthcare? Is that what she wants? She wants to take away her health care? Is this what
that's
this
what it sounds
wants?
Like?
Great! Can't wait. Love that for us.
What is she going to take away that we do? We don't have health care.
You should have. You should. You got access to health care. And she's saying they're trying to not only take away health care. They said they're going to replace it, but they never showed anything they're going to replace it with. Great. And they keep you know, fishing with this pre-existing condition shit, and they know they want to take that out, but
they
they're trying to, they're going to keep that in there, and they know they don't want to.
They don't want it, and you know what? Now it turns out that COVID is, like, so COVID-y and weird, and if you have had it, then you count as having a pre-existing condition. Did you know
Shut
that?
Up!
I really? Won't. Yeah. Yeah, so that actually affects, like, all of us.
Wow.
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 Not just the
disease. I think this woman is very shady. I mean, I don't want to talk shit about the kids because I actually think adopting is noble, but I
it is noble, but it's still kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's
where are they going to get haircuts? Who's cutting this black?
I don't know. Maybe she's going with, maybe they're going with Madonna's kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, her kid's about 20 years old now, ain't it? The black kid she had.
He a black she has twins. She adopted girl twins, too.
Lord have mercy. She think it's just Kmart for black babies.
But, I mean, Amy Coney Barrett is, I think, abashedly and anti-abortion.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I just don't believe a fucking word that comes out of her mouth is the problem.
Well, I just don't believe if anybody is religious enough, and if you are, fine. But if you're religious enough to think that it's a baby right at conception, then you can't hedge when people ask you if you're pro or against abortion. You're obviously against abortion. You think it's a kid. And honestly, who can blame you? If you think it's a baby, you should be against abortion. I don't think it's a baby. I think it's living cells. But if you think it's a baby, of course you're against abortion. Why not just say I'm against abortion? Because I think it's a kid.
But the irony is that those people are like totally for war and totally for violence. But like no violence against cells. Don't hurt cells.
Yeah, right.
We're totally happy killing brown people and black people overseas, but don't kill cells.
But it's also you. It's like the big clump of cells that's you, right? The woman. Right. Fuck you. Fuck your cells. Fuck your clump of cells. But this clump of cells, I legislate.
Yeah, do you think you're going to lose that right, though? You think you're going to lose the right and the right to choice?
I think that even now, imagining that we might lose the right to choose is scary as fuck, right? And then she's obviously going to be confirmed. So, like, this right now is scary enough.
She's going to be on the court for 30, 40 years. Easy.
For 30, 40 years. Well, you know, they were saying they want, it would be constitutional if they made an amendment saying that instead of for life, it's like a really long 18-year term. That would be totally constitutional, okay? And they're never going to do it.
Mm-hmm. No, they'll never do that.
They'll never do that.
But here's what they can do. They can, the Democrats can add seats to the court.
Can they?
Yeah. They have the right to
Under a Biden presidency, though. And I think Trump's going to win again.
I think Trump's going to win, too.
I think he's going to win easily, guys. I think it's going to be, honestly, all these polls, the more they say the polls are this and that, the more I'm like, fuck your polls. You don't need a poll to feel a feeling. Like, we're all people and we live in this country of energy. I feel the energy. Trump is on his way back.
I don't feel this.
There's going to be rioting either way. Like, each side is going to throw a fit no matter who wins.
You're right.
I don't feel the same way I felt in 2016 when I knew Trump was going to win hands down. It was going to be a fucking alliance. I just knew he was going to get in.
You think this it's going to be a contest?
I don't feel the same way this time.
In 2016, like, you were one of the few people that were like, he's going to win. I was like, I was like living in my little Hillary world. And I was like, no, that would never happen. And Sherrod was like, he's going to win.
Yes.
You were right.
All you have to do is take a drive around this country.
Yeah.
Right.
And suddenly you're like, oh shit. Fucker is going to win.
Now you say that's really Trump.
Woof, dude, I didn't even take a drive around the country. I just went to Queens and saw a bunch of Trump flags.
Now, did you see that this time too? You seen a lot of Trump stuff around?
In Not in Manhattan.
In Queens, you said, so yeah.
Not in Manhattan, maybe, but if you go to Westchester or Staten Island.
Yeah.
Or any place outside of the state of New York.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, I didn't see it. But first of all, we wasn't able to travel this year, like back in the other election. So I was flying other places, landing and seeing Trump pins everywhere, like the signs and shit. I was like, okay, then they go and win. But this year, we wasn't able to travel around and get the, you know, I was in the Midwest in fucking June or out west in April. So I don't know. I couldn't see it like firsthand how the signs and stuff, like that kind of propaganda was up. But I'm hearing that it's not as much as it was before.
For Trump?
Yes.
Interesting. I don't know, because you know what, COVID, we're not traveling. So we don't have our like on the ground data of what people are thinking who aren't us.
And plus people don't hate Joe Biden. They might not want to vote for him, but nobody hates him. They hated Hillary.
They hated Hillary. Yeah, right.
Is Joe Biden gonna live? Is he going to live?
Yeah, that's not the worst question I've ever heard.
I mean, he's got to check out.
The guy,
if he when gets he's, elected and he doesn't live, and Moesha's the president.
When he's debating, I rejoice when he finishes a sentence and he is still living. Every time, like, is he going to make it through the sentence? Yes? All right. Well, then we're okay for 5 seconds.
Yeah, Kamala Harris, first female president.
Maybe.
I think he'll live. White people live. Don't y'all, have y'all not learned that yet?
I mean, Ronald Reagan is like a lose of dementia during
Yeah, Ronald Reagan had dementia. He was still breathing. Dick Cheney had 8 heart attacks in his 30s. That motherfucker's still here.
He's still here.
Still here.
Is he still here?
Will mediocrity keep Joe Biden alive?
Do you think Joe Biden's mediocre? I think that like we are basing this on what we see right now, but Joe Biden has had a long career of like being coherent.
Hasn't he been accused of like raping a bunch of people too?
Did he? You know what? I'm going to say something a little controversial, but it's Race Wars and I can do that. I don't think that just because someone screamed rape, it means where there's smoke, it does not mean that there's fire. I think that we have to be discriminating about the smoke because we have to remember that this is not a zero stakes game. This is not like someone going, oh, Joe down the street, he fucked me up. Okay, well, tell me what happened. Oh my God, that sounds awful. This is a high stakes political game. Someone says you raped me. I want to know what the fuck you're on about. Who contacted you to say that? I'm not saying don't believe it. I would never say that. But I'm saying, why is this happening now?
Oh, no, it's not happening now. It came out a while ago. We've just been ignoring it.
Mm-hmm. But this came out during this cycle, though. This isn't like news that came out 30 years ago, been buried, and now whatever. These are people that came out recently. And I'm saying, could be true. Obviously, there could be true. I'm not ruling on the truth of it or whatever. But I'm also saying there's agendas here, right and left. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. But between these two, I mean, Trump's record is not stellar when it comes to broads.
No. Well,
so that's not even a criteria now to be elected or not.
Right. Well, Adrian Iapucci, is that how I say her last name? The comic.
Iapucci
had written. Thank you. Had written. At this point, we're just voting for the guy who has the least number of rapes. Or who's accused of the least. So you're right. I mean, all else being equal.
Yeah. But isn't that the funny thing about this election, that all else is not equal? We can't even say that here. All else being equal, I would pick this, like, nothing's equal. Everything's a complete shit show, right? Totally. So then this, like, little bit of information comes out, and I go, you know what? Rape is horrific, but for the first time in my life, I'm saying I think rape is neither here nor there at this point.
I know.
And it's not that
bad. That's a sad commentary, but at the same time, too, maybe just social media makes these things more transparent.
Right.
I would doubt there's any president in the last 50 years who isn't a rapist.
Totally.
Obama.
Allegedly.
Obama, listen, no, you know, if there was any,
there isn't a white
listen, as much as these people, as much as these people hated Obama, if it was anything that was even kind of fucking sketch, they would have ran with it.
Immediately. We would still be hearing about it now. No, Obama had to have the squeakiest record that anyone's ever had. Ever. Yep. Like, and you know, that's any black person and any female running for office has to have a bulletproof fucking record. Any man running for office, can we just assume there's been rapes? So can we just, and so let's skip over the have you raped and just ask how many.
Totally, totally. Clinton, I mean, Bill Clinton was like hanging out with like Epstein, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's rape accusations against Bill Clinton going back to his Oxford days. Like they don't even, like he was reported to the police while he was still a graduate student at Oxford for sexual assault. Like that, like way, like that's not a political thing. That's like,
no.
He's an unknown.
Well, they did say sometimes great people, I mean, good people, great people ain't good people.
Yeah. Right. And sometimes great people rape people.
Sometimes.
Guys, this is a fact.
That should be on a t-shirt immediately.
Yes.
I
think that's
the episode title. Sometimes people.
So when you think, so you do think that Trump's getting back in?
I do. I mean, look, we would have, here's the thing, you're fighting against the status quo, and the status quo has so much inertia that in order to get him out of office, it wasn't like, you know, in 2016, you had to have this incredible amount of energy to get him elected, and it happened. And now the standard for how much energy you need to like boost him back into office is lower because it's already at somewhat 2016 levels. You know what I mean? He just kind of has to stay sort of there.
I think that if the economy doesn't crash, I mean, I don't think historically there's ever been a case when the incumbent president doesn't get reelected when the economy is good.
Yeah, the economy is okay.
Well, the economy is always like, it's regional for one, and it's like, it depends on who you talk to.
Right.
If it's good enough, you know what I'm saying?
Right. For comics, not so much right now.
Not so much right now, no. I mean, yeah, everybody, but old you
people,
know what?
If old people feel like they don't got their shit, it could be problems.
It could be problems. I mean, this is a pivot, right?
If the middle
right?
class feel like they disappearing, which they do, it could be problems.
There is problems, but, you know, he's
lucky stimulus
because...
And these stimulus checks ain't coming in.
They're
it could
not.
Be problems.
But we said, you know, everybody was saying once the stimulus runs out, once the, you know, boosted unemployment runs out, all your shit's going to hit the fan, you're going to have everybody freaking out, and it didn't happen like that. I thought it was going to be this big
But plus,
shit show.
Here's the thing.
Because people don't freak out about anything. We're too, like, distracted by Tiger King.
I mean, but people have been freaking out nonstop.
Yeah.
But you, there have been riots.
You can't talk about the economy and not bring up COVID. Because COVID is running the economy right now. So everybody right now has less money, unless you're Jeff Bezos. Everybody got less money.
Right.
But Donald
so
Trump
that's
would,
gonna affect the vote. That will affect the vote.
But Donald Trump was handed this pandemic and basically had an opportunity to save the country. And I mean, I don't think it could have been more poorly handled.
Exactly.
If
and that's
tried.
What people wanna feel. And people are gonna feel that in their pocket, and that's gonna fucking make them lose.
Yes. And don't also forget that even if he doesn't win, like, they'll probably just steal it because they're all fucking criminals.
That's what they're looking at. That's why, you know, people on the left and Pelosi and them, they already, you know, doing things now to combat that situation when it happens. We're all looking forward to it happen on November 3rd or whatever, the day after voting. It's going to be some type of, oh, we can't count the votes that's mailed in, or, oh, these are wrong, or, oh, here's an example of something that was fought. He's going to try to... And he's trying to make everybody, first of all, he's making everybody look dumb. Even people who collect the votes in each state, it's like, we're not incompetent, son of a bitch. We down here learning everything. So it's like, he's making everybody that's not him look like idiots.
Yep, there's
and that's
no
one
of,
that's
outcome. Well, here's the weird mindfuck promise of this election, that it's guaranteed that there's no outcome that's not going to make people freak out. It's not possible. Whatever happens, if he wins, if Trump wins, if Biden wins, if Trump wins and if Trump loses and doesn't leave, if Biden wins, like there's no outcome that's not going to be wild.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And I don't remember.
Oh, Trump's a crybaby, so it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be sour grapes.
It is. It's going to smell the grapes from here. There's no grapes on sour. There's no grapes are going to be on
sour. He also going to be like this. America, I'm praying for you because I don't know what to tell you now. It's going to be a lot of that shit. And people, that might make motherfuckers violent.
It is. And, you know, he's not just going to, like, lose and go away. He's going to be out there. He's going to have, like, I don't trust him to not be building a little weird Trump army in this country, pulling some weird move a year from now.
When he loses, first thing he's going to do is start his own news network.
You're probably right.
Right away. Right as on the ground running, nigga.
That's because he's smart, and he knows, he already does it now, that if you control information, you control what people think.
It's going to take all the Fox viewers.
It is, and we don't have the resources. Well, Fox News fucking sucks. Fox News is on its way out. Even people who traditionally watch Fox News are, no one's happy with it, right? The left is like, fuck you, Fox News, you're so far to the right. And the right's like, you're not right enough.
Right.
You know, yeah, he's going to start something.
This might push us into a worse situation with this new network that he's going to start, and plus this conservative-ass court.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I pray for this country.
This country is a shit show right now.
It is a shit show right now, but we have... I know. I mean, you know, here's the other thing I think that's, like, going to contribute to a Trump win is, like, you know, they talk about polls all the time, and these are like college educated people asking other college educated people what they think. So it skews a certain way. And we have made it so, we've made it so toxic for anyone to actually come out and be like, yeah, I'm undecided. Like how many, there's people that you know, that I know who aren't actually sure how they're going to vote, who feel like they could never ever say it publicly because it would ruin them. Why can't people just speak up?
You're talking about white people, first of all. First of all, you're talking about white people. That's a white people thing. The black people be like 90% that say Biden and the 10% that say Trump, they're going to say it.
Yeah, right.
They ain't going to hide it.
Yeah, right.
Or black people going to tell you what the fuck they did. White people are sneaky as shit with their fucking voting ways.
Fine, just
with voting, they're sneaky as shit with a lot of other stuff too.
Okay, but about voting specifically, I think it would help people if we could normalize... of normalized saying, I don't know, and not freak out at people and not go, why, you don't know? How could you say that? He's pure evil. Fucking relax, calm down. If someone's actually not sure, or they're like, but I believe that a fetus is a baby. Okay, let's talk it out. Let's talk about the other issues. How are you feeling about, let's weigh these things with other stuff. Like, people can't even talk.
I think
that's the thing that I think people-
is like the fact, like the right kind of politicized morality in the 80s with abortion, right? So it's like, rather than it being like, we're voting for someone based on issues, it becomes like a moral thing. We have to vote for this person because of abortion.
Right.
And the left has right. like realized racism and sexism and all these other things. And so the idea is that like who you vote for is like a fundamental reflection of your basic morality as a human rather than like I'm voting based on an issue.
Right.
And it becomes a reflection of your identity rather than a choice that you're making.
Yep.
And at this point, it's like, sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Like, if you pro-choice and you middle class and you're a white woman, why would you vote for Trump?
Right.
Because you...
Because just because of the pro-choice situation?
Your husband told you to.
Because you're rich.
Because you're greedy and you're rich, probably. I mean, and...
There you go.
But people have actual reasons that, and this is, I'm not accusing anybody here of anything, but I am saying that the left has made it really hard to have this discussion and that people have their reasons that are important to them. Yeah. And for example, you know, abortion's just one. And by the way, if you think that's an actual human child, okay, then you think it's a kid and you think it's murder. What can I say? I can't even really argue with that, right? Then that's a very important point to you. If I thought they were murdering babies, then I would be all up in arms about it. But that's just not how I feel. But people vote on Israel, for example. And like Trump's been great for Israel. He's been great for certain industries. Like we can't discount this and say, you're evil. You're fucking evil for even speaking up. Well, then people won't speak up. We don't have an accurate count and he's going to win. You can't shame people like that.
You can't shame them. But I think I feel like the tide's turning, and I say it based on how the Republicans are taking all this, how Mitch McConnell and the boys are taking all this, even fucking Lindsey Graham fighting for his spot in South Carolina, the black dude running against him raised $57 million in a fucking week or some shit, the largest amount ever raised. I think they are feeling the heat where they're from. And that's something that, you know, the national news might not always talk about it, but if you dig, you can find where these fires are locally, but not in your area. Right. And that's a different vibe than I felt in 2016. It wasn't shit like that. It wasn't grassroots shit like that for Hillary or around just from the Democrats. Now it's a different vibe because you got the Black Lives, you got fucking COVID, and you got a motherfucker's dropping the ball on all of it. And people who just like that want a regular life and you want them shit to be calm in the area, no riots or even protests. They don't want protests. They want people to be treated right. They're going to say enough of this shit. And I think they are fed up, and that's going to make the difference. I think a lot of old people are fed up. And COVID stuff, I think the old people are going to make a difference. And even and Joe Biden is one of them, too. And even Trump making fun of Biden being old and said he belongs in a nursing home. They have that new commercial where he's in a nursing home. It's like people in a nursing home are like, yo, fuck you. I'm in a nursing home.
Here's the thing, though. Well, the people in the nursing home are dead because Cuomo sent COVID patients there.
Nobody's in nursing homes anymore. Cuomo killed all of them.
All the people in nursing homes are dead now.
We don't have a candidate whose victory would make people, like half the country, not feel like they're being fucked. I think that's the big thing. If Trump wins, half the country thinks they're going to fucking die and that they're completely fucked. And if Biden wins, we have millions of people who feel the same way. We don't actually have a candidate that appeals to both.
Yeah, feelings is one thing, but here's the thing. You can get a candidate who could be president for both sides.
Mm-hmm. You can, and yet we have not.
But he can still act like he's there for you, too. Even though you ain't vote for him, he's still your fucking president.
Yeah, so I mean,
one candidate, I think, in his race can do that, and one candidate clearly cannot.
I mean, even though Cuomo killed all those people, I feel like he really stepped up after that and sort of offered New York this leadership that made you feel a little bit safer, even though he just killed your grandma. So it's a little bit complicated. The problem is that we're being given a binary choice, and you can understand why people aren't excited about Joe Biden for a lot of different reasons.
Of course.
I mean, look, I'm, you know, for me, like, you know, my neighbor's dog could be running and I would be voting for him.
Yeah. I never voted in all the years I voted. I'd never voted for president and was like this. Ah, they so damn good. Yeah. Both of them were so good. I don't know what to do.
Right. Well, the problem is like, it's so, how do you get like a great, how do you get a great candidate who is a good politician, so just good at the job, right? The job of leadership, which is his own job, the job of like knowing how shit works, which is his own thing, and excites people, which is its own thing, right? It's like you could get an actor, entertainer to get people excited, but how do you get someone like that who's also good at it, good at the job of being
The closest we came to two good candidates, that, from my opinion, was when it was Obama and McCain.
Yeah, right.
Because McCain had fucking character. You can say what you want about his policies or whatever, or he's conservative. McCain had character, even from the fucking campaign, when people was like, oh, he's a Muslim, and he stopped the woman in his own fucking rally and stopped her, instead of cheering it on and smiling like Trump would do.
Yeah,
McCain
right.
had fucking character, and he loved his country. And that was the closest, like, McCain, I didn't hate McCain at all. I liked him a lot.
Mm-hmm. Am I the only one not getting high right now?
I'm also not high, but I'm I eventually maybe yes.
I wish the candidates would do this.
We're so split down the middle of this. If you're watching this on YouTube,
it would be amazing if just Trump and Biden would have these conversations, just smoking a joint while they're talking.
Can you guys
smoke a joint?
Brooke and Sharati, can you guys pretend to pass the joint from Brookie from the bomb, and then Sharati, you pretend to get it from her square? Brooke, will you pass him the joint from your square? Okay, now you grab absolutely. It. Yes! Have you seen those TikToks where like, have you seen those TikToks where all these kids are on Zoom in class and like one of them pretends to kiss the other and the other one moves all the way away?
Oh!
Just kids striking out right and left on Zoom. It's so cute.
Somebody gonna say that's assault.
I just did it. Here, I'm kissing your head.
Nightmare. It's a nightmare. I think most of my students just like call in and then put their phone in another room and ignore me for an hour.
Wait, what happened?
You teach. Oh, you teach on Zoom.
That's right. Explain that to people.
Yeah, so how's that work?
It doesn't work. Things that don't work for 500, Karen.
What are you teaching?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I teach literature. And yeah, I teach Shakespeare to random kids in Baltimore on Zoom. It's a nightmare.
Okay. I went to college in Baltimore. I went to Morgan State. What school do
Johns Hopkins?
What school are you working with?
Johns Hopkins.
Compton.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, Johns Hopkins or Compton State?
Johns Hopkins. I teach Compton at Johns State. Hopkins. Yeah.
Johns Hopkins. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Hopkins. So what are you doing over there? Are you teaching kids literature from Johns Hopkins?
Like, I teach college writing and in like early literature classes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Well,
that's
now
impressive.
Well, now you do.
I thought you was just a fucking a good venue for mushrooms.
You had a good time.
So how old are these kids?
Like 2 weeks ago, Sherrod, like you had a
how old are these kids? Like 19, 20, like college kids?
Sherrod like sprouted wings. He was so happy.
Oh, that was great. How old are these kids? Like college kids? How long have you been doing that?
Kids. They're college freshmen. Freshmen and sophomores. I teach like, I'm not like a tenure track professor, but I teach like college writing, like introduction to literature.
Right.
Survey of
risk. And how many students usually are in a class when you're teaching online?
Online? I mean, it depends on the college. So like the CUNY schools that I've taught at, it's like 30. The private schools like Johns Hopkins. In Marymount, which I also teach at, it's like 14, you know, so
right
depends on how much their parents are paying.
Now do you talk to kids about their political thoughts, because they old enough to vote now? So
it, you know, that's really interesting, like, because I felt like, you know, I'm pretty radical lefty, you know.
Yeah.
And so when I first started teaching, like, a lot of my students were way to the right of me, you know. And now I feel like they're on board. Like they know that they're getting fucked over. They know that they're going into stupid debt for a college degree that won't get them a good job. They know that the environment is fucked. They know that they're technological slaves. They feel very much this kind of sense of nihilism about where the world is going. They feel like they've been handed nothing.
And who can fucking blame them? And
they've been handed an empty promise.
They do. And you know what? I remember when our generation started finding that out. And by our generation, I mean me personally. And Sherrod's known me the entire time. That's so funny to be talking to someone who's watched me be so excited to be at NY fucking U. And then slowly there's a recession and I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, I'm taking a semester off and figuring out my life and I'm $200,000 in debt. And like the whole fucking thing comes crumbling down. And then I'm like, I'm going to go into comedy. And then I was like, well, fuck school. Not that I regret getting the education, but it slowly dawned on me what an epic racket it was. And it's so funny because school's the thing that, like, it does add real value, but at too much of a cost, right? It's like, not, you're paying too much for the value you're getting. You are getting value, but it ain't enough.
It adds value.
It's about more connections. It's about more and more connections you make in college.
You know?
Sure. And I got a great education, but it's like, you know, there's kids now who aren't getting any of their housing deposit back or whatever, and they're not even in student housing, and colleges flat out, that money has been spent. They are never getting that money back. I think two colleges got sued and didn't want to fight the lawsuit, so they refunded people. Everybody else has been paying tens of thousands of dollars to live in dorms that they're not allowed to be at.
No way.
Yes, it is a scam. I'm telling, education's not a scam, but college is a scam.
College.
Even the dorms in the areas that you are allowed in, you don't want to go in. So no. You should have an option and not the
pay. Right.
Well, like NYU doesn't have cafeterias open, so they have like a delivery service for food right now. So like everyone gets their food delivered to them in their dorm room. You know, like that's
right.
How 15 people in dorms is like, you have no communal space. And the entire point of college is like, you're supposed to have an intellectual academic environment. And that's been completely taken away as well via COVID.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, have you seen, so there's TikToks of these NYU kids showing what they're showing people the food that they're getting delivered. And it's it's like fire festival style. So first of all, do you know how much it costs to go to NYU? I'm sure you do. It's exorbitant. It's disgusting. And they have so much money. Everybody's paid so much money. Their buildings cost so much money. You know who doesn't see that money is you, the student, ever. Everything that you want or need, you're going to have to pay extra for. Like, that never crossed my mind when I was there. But, like, why is it that my 50 grand a year doesn't cover books? What is it about books that makes them exempt from my tuition? What is that? So now they're being fed, like, a slice of bread, a slice of cheese, and a lettuce, and they're calling it a day. Why? Where does that money go? Like, honestly, I would like to know, where the fuck does your money go?
Administrators, like the vast majority of academic money goes to like bureaucratic middle administrators, like faculty doesn't.
Yeah, a lot of money goes to the staff and shit.
I teach at like a prestigious university, Johns Hopkins or whatever. I make less than $1,000 a month teaching there. Like, that's crazy.
Goddamn. And it's not for lack of money. It's so crazy. I mean, I know like the president of NYU makes millions of dollars, lives in this gorgeous brownstone on Washington Square North or whatever. Like, it's absolutely exorbitant while you're freezing in flip-flops in the snow, which is your own choice, which was a choice, I will say. I did choose that.
But that's why schools... That's why Bernie was right. Bernie Sanders and said higher education need to be free. It need to be free to everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, when I was in grad school, I taught like intro to writing and stuff also. And this was, you know, I don't know, 20 years ago or whatever. And I was in school in Arizona. And what I found with my freshman students was that they had no idea about, like, they were just regurgitating this sort of right-wing rhetoric that their parents had taught them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, like, you know, they learned what critical thinking was that they were like, oh, shit. Maybe that's not actually true. So, it's nice to hear that it's a little bit different now, Brooke. It sounds like maybe it's because they're also at Hopkins, has something to do with that. Or maybe kids are just, I don't know, they have access to like this information that they didn't have 20 years ago.
But you're supposed to be dumb when you're 18. Like, that's part of growing up, is you're supposed to come into school filled with your parents' ideas and you're diehard. Like, you think you really know it, even though you don't know it. You just think it. You don't know shit. And that's part of growing up, is you're supposed to come to school like a complete idiot.
But some people come in and know things. Some people know exactly what's going on. And now you're in a sea of motherfuckers who don't. Mm-hmm. So it's like, who do I talk to?
Right. Well, I feel bad for the kids who like did the adult thing and like took a gap year to like grow up and like take school seriously. And now, I mean, I took a single semester off, and that's when you and I met, Sharati. And when I came back, I felt different. Like, I just didn't feel, I didn't hang out with people except for comics that I'd already met outside of school. Like, I didn't feel the same as the kids that were in school the whole time. You just are like, oh shit, there's the real world.
Yeah, it's an eye-opener, motherfucker. Yeah. When you first get a taste of it, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, this changes everything.
It changes
everything.
And that's why
people later on in life go like, oh, if I could go back now, what would I know now? It's like, right. But yeah, you need to catch up to what you need to know.
Yeah, right. I know.
Why you need to know it.
I also think there's like something really privileged about graduating from high school and going to college and not having to like think about where I am. And, you know, most people don't have that luxury, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Everybody don't have that option of going to college. Or, you know, if you like a, you know, middle to lower class person, about to graduate high school, you like college is not only really on your mind if you ain't got no, you know, grants or some scholarship or is maybe like a local college or some shit, but
yeah,
you're not just waiting for envelopes to come saying you're accepted, and you're like, yeah, oh, Luckily, I was in that position when I was coming up. But I knew friends who wasn't in that position. They knew right away that they'd go on to get a job right after high school, period.
Or you're going to community college for 2 years, and then maybe you're going to be able to matriculate into
another school.
But you know what? Absolutely no shame in that game at all. And so my dad runs the online, like, distance department of Community College of Philadelphia, which is a job. Like, the kids who go into Community College of Philadelphia have been super underserved by the city of Philadelphia. Some of them come in not knowing how to read and write or do math. It's like, it's a very remedial program for a lot of these kids. My dad is an angel, and he considers this public part of, like, his public service to do this job and help these kids. And now that everything's online, his department all of a sudden is blown up, right? And he's saying that the cool thing is it's attracting. So not only is it a better program for kids who are going to take the program anyway, but it's attracting kids who were just, like, planning on going to an NYU or Johns Hopkins or whatever, who are like, fuck this, I'm not spending $100,000 for 2 years to not be at school. Let me be at this community college and then transfer my credits over. And it's like, I think it's raising the standard of community colleges, and it's going to make it, you know, we have such a stigma in this country of, like, community college, ugh, you must be dumb and poor. Like, vocational training, gross. I know I always need a plumber, but fuck you for studying that. Like, I think it's becoming more of a thing of, like, we're doing what we got to do, and these are, like, awesome options.
I think the, you know, the coronavirus evened out the fucking playing field for a lot of these schools. It's like every school is the University of Phoenix now, because all y'all need to come on.
Listen, no joke, my niece got into Harvard and got a full scholarship to Harvard, and she lives in Germany, and she's studying online remotely, like the fucking University of Kazakhstan. So
good for her.
That's crazy. I mean, like,
well, they're not, Harvard's not less expensive just because you're not at Harvard.
It's less expensive to get a full scholarship, though.
It's less expensive when you get a full scholarship, but it still must sting that, you know, their price list has not changed at all. And the services that they offer are so diminished. You know, like, part of being at college is being at college. You're paying for it. You're paying
but a part of being college still is that name. That Harvard name still rings a bell, nigga, when you walk into a goddamn interview. I don't care what year you went.
It does.
And that's what you're paying for. That's essentially what you're paying for.
It is.
I just wanted a sweatshirt.
Yeah. I wear my Harvard tie.
$100,000 tuition a year, a sweatshirt.
I'm like, honey, can you just pick me up a sweatshirt, please?
They still give you a pop quiz if you want to buy a sweatshirt.
Yeah, I'm never throwing away my NYU sweatshirt. I wear it constantly. It cost me $250,000 fucking dollars. I'm going to wear that sweatshirt till I die.
You're gonna get buried in a fucking sweatshirt.
I am. Yeah, no, it's weird and bleak, but you know what? I think, like, especially for this, like, adorable Gen Z that is so good at, like, just a random, has all these random skills we never had, like, just professional video editors right and left, just these 16-year-olds, they're gonna be okay. Like, I feel like they're the ones who are like, right, how you guys, no disrespect, how you guys did it, it don't work. And we're gonna just figure it out our own way. Like, they're the ones who are gonna kind of, like, plinko down the new status quo. You know what I mean? It's gonna settle
down. Totally. And they're like, we're gonna also stay home because, like, there's no school shootings this way.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to shoot a motherfucker online, but we'll figure it out. You know, death always finds a way.
I mean, white people find a way to mass shoot. If I can say one thing for white people, I do speak on behalf of us, we find a way to shoot. We will find a way to murder.
We will find a way to kill you.
We will find a way to murder you, yes. It's what we do.
They definitely figure it out. So what's your plans for the rest of the year since COVID got us? And you know shit ain't going to be open like it's supposed to be open. Anybody got big plans from here to New Year's Eve?
I'm just trying to stay out of the psych ward.
That makes fucking four of us.
That makes all of us. And it's a very noble dream.
My main goal for the rest of the year is, like, don't go back to the psych ward, Brooke.
Yeah, my mental structure is getting tested on this one.
Yeah. I think about it all the
time. Doing? Are you like losing your mind? I feel like I'm really starting to lose my mind.
Oh yes. I think I lost it and Ben lost it.
Well, what are you missing the most, Periel?
I'm really missing like doing this in person, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I think also like I miss people. I miss the city.
Yeah.
And I think just this, like the nature of what we do is like we hang out so hard and so much just in comedy. Like, so there are the shows, which, you know, I also miss, but then there's also everything that goes around that.
Yeah.
I miss that the most.
The camaraderie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The, you know, snapping on each other, just having a laugh, giving a hug, giving a pound.
Yeah. Always having a place to go. You can always show up at the club and hang out with the other comics. And, like, you'll run into people that you haven't
seen
before. Like, just having that, like, kind of home base to, like, bounce off of. That's what I miss.
I think
that's why I'm shocked that more comedians ain't died during this.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
You're right.
By suicide. That's what I'm talking about.
Rod, so.
But honestly, this is a real question since we're all four comics. Like, what are people doing? You know, people are not, like, whatever your income was from comedy before this, it's dried to a trickle. If you're lucky enough to make any money doing it at all, I mean, I'm still, like, owed spot money that I'm just probably never going to see. That's fine. I know nobody has any money right now. But, like, what are people doing? Like, what are people pivoting to?
I'm sucking a lot of dick. I don't know about you girls.
You getting paid for that though?
I had to suck a dick in my mouth when I became president. It's my protest.
I mean, okay, but Sean, I'm not asking about your hobbies, not what you do to relax. What are you doing, like, for money?
For money? I guess, you know, I had money saved, but it's dwindling.
Yeah.
And I still got some cash coming in from different things, but not, you know. I just miss comedy, like stand-up being my number one thing. Like, a podcast is fine, but like I said before, podcast is a side bitch. This ain't the wife.
Your rage at podcast has been boiling over. I thought you come in here, you go, fucking stupid, fucking Race Wars, fucking podcast, let's fucking do it. And it is. It's like,
because it's now the main bitch. It's like, that's annoying.
I know.
But it's also so, I mean, the podcasts have been keeping me sane.
Oh. Yeah, I agree. It kept me sane. I can't lie about it. Yeah.
I mean, it's frustrating because, you know, for everything we just said, but it's also like, I thank God for these podcasts.
Yeah, you're right. You got to appreciate it, you know.
Well, this is our hanging out.
Are you doing Zoom shows? Are you doing like stand-up Zoom shows?
A little bit, but not. I was doing some more at the beginning when people were like, this is all we have. And now I get asked to do them occasionally, and I'll do them. I like making the little squares laugh, you know, it's kind of fun. But it ain't the same thing, is it?
Yeah, there's gonna be no replacement for no damn stand-up.
It's not a replacement for stand-up. I could, like, you know,
I've been doing stand-up for 20 years. This technology has been out for six months.
Yeah.
I've been doing stand-up for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Ain't no way in the world some Zoom show gonna make up for that shit, for that room and that fucking laugh back and the vibe of the room and the feeling.
It's not the same. It's like, honestly, finishing a Zoom show.
I've had to teach on Zoom, which is ruined. And I'm like, I don't want to do a comedy too. Like,
finishing a Zoom show is like right after you come, right? It's like you finish the show, you made people laugh, feels good, and then you're in your fucking house completely alone. Like, all the stuff that makes killing worth it, it's like not worth it. It's like, oh, I made you guys laugh. Let me tell you a secret, and this is the secret of all comedians, and I'm sorry to expose it, but nobody does this just for the altruism of making people laugh. I do it because it feels fucking great, and then afterwards, I get to high-five my friends and hang out, or they make fun of me for bombing. That's also completely fine. And now
you might get some pussy. You might get some pussy, too.
And I might get some pussy.
And you might get some pussy.
And now I might get some pussy, and now there's no pussy. There's no pussy for Karen, and everything's dried up.
Yeah, it's different now.
I also feel like
y'all didn't hear the danger field.
What's wrong with Zoom pussy?
Where's the Zoom pussy? Show me the Zoom pussy.
My screen just gets messed up.
It's just a bunch of fog.
Get to feel nothing. I don't get to feel nothing, and I gotta wipe my screen after.
Right.
I mean, for me, I'm relatively new to doing stand up, and the thought of like standing in a field or something and like screaming at people is not what I started doing this.
The park show? Really? Were you guys over the summer? It was actually pretty fun because people were out there and you'd have like 15, 20 people. And it was actually really fun. You can like,
Sure they're amazing. The show.
Well, they're not amazing now. It's freezing and there's like two people and you're
frozen.
There's nobody out. Yeah, it's just everybody's a different vibe. It's dark, you know? Like the problem that you have now is like if you're not doing it at like 3:30, 4 in the afternoon, you're doing it in the dark. Like it's not right.
Yeah.
I feel like it's one
and people got a fucking Zoom work.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's amazing that people are doing it. It just feels like so difficult to wrap your it's like an entirely different set of skills than like what you've been working on, like how you perform in a room and that energy in a room.
It's
and
not the same.
I don't know, outside it just seems insane.
The acoustics really
we need a controlled environment. Like Jerry Seinfeld said, comedy stand-up needs a controlled environment, a controlled temperature, fucking noise kept out so you can control the room. Yeah. So doing it outside is just, look, it can you still be stand-up, but unless you got like, you know, it's like fucking Odds Fest, Oddball Fest or something like that, where they got outdoor shows with killer speakers and shit, huge shows, where you feel like you're inside, then it's just going to be, it's just a different animal. But I mean, you can still have entertaining shows doing it, but it ain't the same, it ain't the traditional stand-up show that you're going to have in a stand-up club or inside a place.
What'd you say before, Brooklyn?
But it can be fun, I guess.
What did you say before? When you need the air quotes?
Outdoors, the acoustics. Like, you need, like, an enclosed space. It's like your voice.
Yeah, you need that controlled sound.
You do.
Jokes. It fucks up the timing.
I mean, you can do a lot of ad-libbing and shit, but shit ain't always going to come. Mm-hmm. You could be in the middle of a joke, and then somebody, fucking a bus blows his horn, and then a homeless man shouts that he's next, and the Frank man have a fight.
Well, you can't, to be fair, you are in their home. You have actually moved into their home, and now you are screaming jokes. Like, they don't need you there. They didn't want you to, like, at McCarran Park, they have this guy who, like, plays, what does he play? He plays some sort of drum or, like, some sort of, like, saxophone type of thing every single day. He's been doing that for, like, 30 years, and now we're in his park screaming our jokes at people, and he's like, fuck you. Why are you screaming over my saxophone? And we're like, I mean, you just...
I saw one dude masturbating at the park, and he was angry that it was doing a show there. He was like, every day, I come here at 3 p.m. to be one off, and what is this knock-knock shit y'all doing?
The problem is that everything that we do is, like, literally the opposite of what we're being told to do for COVID. It's, like, pack as many people as humanly possible into the smallest space.
And have them breathe and laugh on each other. Yeah, we're going to be the last thing to open, money. We're going to be the last thing.
I'm doing an indoor show tonight, like, at the Grizzly Bear. That's, like, the first one I've done since March, which is crazy.
That's an illegal show, by the way.
At, like, 25% capacity. So it's like, okay, great, 10 people, you know? Like,
I mean, 10 people is not bad. 10 people is 10 people, right?
That's still illegal in New York because 25% capacity is only for restaurants, not for any indoor performances. That includes fucking musicians, singers, stand-up comedians, jugglers, and motherfucking card players.
You just become a police officer?
I just know that shit is because people have been offering me shows at, like, Eastville. They want to do a show. I'm like, look, man, it ain't legal here yet, so I'm not going to do it.
Are you nervous?
Look, I got a kid. I got a daughter. I don't want to have to quarantine from her. I've already been away from her long enough, so I don't want to put her in jeopardy, so I'm not going to make a stupid mistake for fucking $15 or some shit.
Mm-hmm. I was actually asking Brooke.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Are you nervous about COVID?
No, I mean, are you nervous about performing indoors?
I already had it, so I feel like I got it. My friend Rebecca is a crossword puzzle creator. She had this crossword puzzle show, like, in March, and we all got COVID at that show. Like, literally,
really, Brookie?
Everyone at my table got the COVID. So I've already had it. So
I think
I had it.
I'm not nervous about getting it again. I just had the gastrointestinal thing. Like, I just threw up. Like, I was just bulimic.
Brookie.
Just made you skinny? You lucky bitch.
Did you get an antibodies test?
I haven't yet. And you have them.
Mm-hmm.
I had COVID and I had an antibodies test and I have antibodies, but I'm still nervous. I feel like nobody even knows what that means, though.
The long-term effect. Knows. You don't know what the long-term effect is, too. It could be, you know.
I don't really know my life enough to be nervous about COVID, to be honest with you.
What?
I don't really value my life enough to be nervous about COVID. Like, yeah. If I die, I'd be like, oh, well.
Spoken like a true comedian.
I was lucky enough that my AIDS ate all my COVID. I got it.
Yeah. It just packed yum, in your COVID
yum,
away.
Yum, yum, yum. Yum, yum. Yum, yum. It missed Pac-Man.
Guys, this is a fucking bleak, man. Brooke, you want to start us off with plugs? Well, anybody really can.
Okay, Imperial.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Anything you want to plug?
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Periel Ashenbrand or on the Comedy Cellar podcast, Live from the Table.
Yes, I'll be on there.
I will too. Yeah, I have not been invited.
You're all invited.
I want to do it. Yeah.
Sherrod,
yes,
I sat there like waiting for him and I'm like, dude, where are you? And this is almost a direct quote, and he goes, oh, sorry, I'm in the Hamptons. And I'm like, 4 bottles of wine in.
I was smashed on the beach, baby. The water house was on the beach.
Stay anyway. On brand. Anyway, enough about me.
Brooke, you want to do some plugs?
Brookie?
Oh, yeah, I'll do some plugs. So you can check me out, brookearnold.com. That's my website. I'm going to be on the new season of the Trevor Moore Talk Show on Comedy Central, so check out my show. Support my Patreon because I'm broke.
Love you.
Money.
White daughter?
Mushrooms.
You guys, as always, you can find me, and I love it when you do, on social. I really only ever check Instagram. I really hate the others, and I don't love Instagram either, but it's Karen Margolis, KerenMargolis. Check out our YouTube. We post these really cute Race Wars videos the noon after the episode comes out. So it's going to be Thursday at noon. You guys can check this out if you want to watch instead of listen. Rate us, review us, and check out Two Black Guys with Good Credits, my newest little project. And if you do check it out, let me know what you guys think about it, because it's my new thing and I want to know what you think.
Boom. What a great episode-y side. A sody sodes. All broads and me. I liked it. Make sure you go to, check Race Wars. I got some patreon.com/racewars and go to Small Ball. Check out Small Ball, sports comedy show, comedy podcast on Embassy Row and Apple Music and Spotify. And yeah, your boy was on Barstool this week. So check out all my Barstool stuff. I did an episode of Camp C on Camp C Radio, and I did Answer the Internet, which was really good. We had fun with those fucking boys. And what a show, guys.
One day
we'll have the stage back. Oh, I'm ready for my stage.
I'm not even sad about the stage. I'm more sad about the weed.
I'm coming back swinging, too. Ooh, I got some heat for niggas. I got some heat for everybody's ass. Thanks for doing the show. You had fun?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
Yes, love you guys.
Guys, you were the best. I love you so much. All right, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Love you.
Race Wars!
Race Wars.